It's Monday, November 22nd, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library, and today we're taking the oral history of Michael Connor. Mike, what is your full name?
Michael Eugene Connor.
And that's Connor spelled C-O-N-N-E-R.
That's correct.
When and where were you born?
Kalamazoo, March 16th, 1945.
And where do you live today?
1150 Parchmount, in Parchmount.
Okay. And what is your personal connection to the Parchmount area?
I was born here, raised here, and still live here.
And still, okay.
And attended school here.
Okay. So you went through, was the high school finished? Or did you go through the ninth grade?
The class that I was in was the first class to go continually through the new high school.
I see.
We moved up from the middle school in 1959, walked up in October when they opened the school up, and so I was the first graduating class to go through the school in its entirety.
And you graduated what year?
1963.
Okay. Okay. Did you like school?
Pretty much.
What was your favorite subject?
Actually, math and drafting, a couple of, I liked math. I was a good math student. I did, of course, I liked athletics too, but the math, and I think that the drafting classes, most of the stuff that would have to do with, I could use on a job.
Yeah. What kind of sports did you play? We're talking about high school now.
Yeah.
High school sports?
Played football, and I did run track for 2 years.
Okay.
Primarily football.
Yeah. What position did you play?
Guard and defensive interior linebacker.
Now, did you guys get, you get letters for that stuff, don't you?
Yes.
How many letters you get?
Three. And I also made All-City in my senior year as a second team.
Oh, you did?
Football.
Football. Okay. Got any injuries?
Got a back injury the last game, senior year, but it was something that wasn't long-lived.
Good. Good for you.
He only hauled you to the hospital paralyzed from the neck down because of a fell on the back of my neck, but about 3 hours later I came out of it, and so I guess I was all right after that.
Oh, great. Did you have favorite teachers at school? And I don't mean just high school. I mean Parchment school system.
Ones that made an impression on me, more or less?
Yeah,
there were two or three, I think. Jim Nickum, Ray Phillips, Grant McDonald, believe it or not, even as a shop teacher, because they were so hard on you. And Doyle Crowe.
Okay.
Who was my homeroom teacher in my sophomore year, and
yeah.
He lives in the area today, and I still see him. So.
Really?
Yeah. He was also the basketball coach of the varsity basketball team.
Okay. Okay. You like growing up in Parchment?
Yeah. It was kind of interesting because when I, the gal I dated, I met her at the community house at a church dance out here.
The community house?
Which was also, when you mentioned the community house, I'll go back a little bit and digress a little bit. My grandfather was one of them that built it.
What was his name?
I can't even tell you his first name. Obviously, it's on my dad's side of the family.
On your dad's side.
Connor, yeah.
Okay. Okay. He did.
Yeah.
Oh. So you met your wife there at church or at a dance?
Well, the church dance that they used to have on Friday nights in the gym.
Yeah.
And, they had a jukebox and everybody showed up. I mean, this group that from out here is pretty much of a dancing group of people.
They had a jukebox in there?
Yeah, they had a jukebox in there. And then a couple of guys ran that. And we just, I mean, it was really, she was a cousin of a guy that lived out north of Parchment, Dan Pryson. And he brought her to dance one night, and I just happened to show up. And I said, well, I didn't go with her continually from there because I went with another girl that lived out here, was from here.
Yes.
And for a couple, 3 years in high school. And then we kind of hooked back up again at the node up to Gun Lake. And I can tell you the rest is history.
And what?
44 years later, I'm still married.
Great. What's your wife's name?
Cheryl.
Okay.
Her whole name was Cheryl Jean D. Lobel.
Okay.
Kalamazoo got went to Lane Arcs of school.
I see. And you have kids?
Two.
Yep.
Karen and Steve.
And are you a grandfather?
No. No kids.
No kids.
No grandkids.
No grandkids, yeah.
Two grandcats.
Okay. Two grandcats, did you say?
Yeah.
What are their names.
Well, my daughter's got a cat. I shouldn't say that. My son's cat was put down here a while ago. But my daughter's cat is named Dozer.
Oh.
He's a 19-pound
yeah.
Maine Coon.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I got a picture of him. I'll show you later.
Sure, but, with that name, but, yeah.
he and our buds. But
yeah.
Interestingly enough, I mean, to that extent, when I, after we got married, that was a lot that our house is building right now on Parchment that she wanted to come back and live in Parchment because she liked Parchment so well. So
okay.
We had a house built and still yeah. here.
Still there.
Same house, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And then to go on what I had said to you earlier, my daughter, after my mom passed away, my stepdad lived there for 5 years and my daughter bought the house after he left.
Okay.
So she lives right next door.
Right next door. Yeah. And you mentioned that your parents both worked for KVP.
Both of them did, yes.
And what were your parents' names?
Betty Merrill Connor and Walter Lee Connor.
Okay. What did your dad do for KVP?
He was a pressman, mill one, and I think he started working in the 30s, and then he... Mm-hmm. changed over to working in the office as a print shop scheduler.
Okay.
And there were two other guys in there, Juggy Martin and Vern Ray. And Vern was from the area here, and I don't know where Juggy Martin lived, but somewhere along I got pictures of that, too, if I can ever dig them up.
Yeah.
In fact, he died on a job in 66 from a stroke.
From a stroke. Right in the print shop?
He was working as a scheduler then. And in fact, it was day after Thanksgiving. I guess he was just talking to somebody and collapsed, and that was it. My mom was right in the next office.
Oh, really? Oh, my. So your mom worked. Your mom didn't work there till later.
Well, my mom started working there, and I think when I was like 7, so it would have been like 52.
Okay.
53.
And what'd she do?
She was basically a secretary. Clerk type.
Sure. And how long did she work there?
Well, you're telling me. She worked there from 52 to which would be 79, so she worked there 27
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then she retired.
Right.
Did you say from there?
She retired when it was, you could go back and look at the history of that. She retired when it was, I'm thinking it was James River when
yeah,
she retired.
I think that's right.
I think it was James River, and she retired mm-hmm. because it was Brown Company, and it was James River.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I'll go back a little bit. You asked me about working. I did work for Brown Company full-time, no less, for
you did.
A couple years. That was in 73, I think 75. I worked in the motor pool over on Patterson Street.
Oh.
Almost forgotten about that.
Okay. Because you said you had done a couple summer... summers of work for KVP.
62 and 63, summer of 62 and 63, I worked there, summer help.
Yeah.
They had a deal that the teachers got involved in it, and so the ones that didn't work came down here and did vacation replacements for people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was pretty good money, and
sure.
You either learned to like the manufacturer and you didn't like it.
True. And you said you just worked... Was it after high school that you went to work?
Well, actually, it was during high school. It was between my junior and senior year, I did. And then after, when I got out, the year I graduated, I did.
Yeah.
And I would tell the story because I went and got my time card and everything. Because it was easy to get a pretty easy good job there if your folks worked there. It was about like,
you know,
John, there was a little deal, they'd help you out. But I went and got an interview, and a guy handed me my time card, and he says, report tonight to Division 5 over at Sutherland over there, which was a Sutherland division on Patterson Street. He says it for the 11 to 7 shift. And I said, well, it was the night I graduated.
Oh.
And I said, well, I got a graduation party afterwards. And he says, party or job, take your pick. So guess who showed up at the job?
Oh, you missed your graduation party.
Well, yeah. I didn't think there was a little bit more important for me was to, get going. And so I think that maybe showed good on my behalf that, there wasn't any, I come in the next night. You can start tonight. And it was not...
Yep.
The next night, and I knew the guy that was interviewing me because he lived here in town and stuff like that. And so he basically said, you could do that. But it was kind of surprising me at the time. But my work ethic was pretty good, so I said, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, and you worked there.
Well, I worked there all summer in '63 from about like late May until, well, it was early June until September, and then I was gone for a couple of weeks, and then I got a chance to go back full time, so they transferred me out here, and I worked out here in Mill 1.
You worked here in Mill 1?
For about 6 months, yeah. And then I decided to go to college.
What were you doing in Mill 1, though, for those 6 months?
Everything from stapling boxes to, they were doing the insert papers for stamps for the government at that time, the parchment paper, whether they want to call it, for stamps. I was doing that, but I mean, I was doing all everything, moving loads and stuff like that. It was not anything great, but it was an education as to manufacturing. And,
right.
You know, my dad would like me to learn the whole paper process, but unfortunately.
You didn't want to.
Well, I don't necessarily think I didn't want to. I'm more of a mechanically inclined type individual.
I see.
So that kind of got around that where, you know, I'm glad I did what I did. I also, I mentioned about working out here at a Brown Company. I also worked for a Parchment Police Department for 2 years, too, in 73 and 74.
The police department?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Were you driving around? What were you doing?
Yeah, I worked for Ralph when Ralph Herrick was the chief.
Ralph Herrick.
Yeah.
Well, what was that like?
Interesting.
Full-time or part-time?
It was full-time.
Interesting, huh? Yeah.
I don't think my marriage would have ever survived it, but because it's, I mean, the work shifts were funny, and I had young kids at the time, and stuff like that, and I guess for, under my behalf, he fired me for whatever the reasons he wanted to fire me for, and I went on and moved on to something else and probably got the best job I ever had totally after that was done, so.
Okay.
The job I retired from.
Which job did you retire from?
Well, I worked for 30-plus years with the Air National Guard in Battle Creek.
As
an aircraft technician, aircraft repair technician.
Oh, okay.
I was in the Guard. You had to be in the Guard to work there. I was in the Guard for 37 years, so, which I joined in 66.
Okay. So, again, how many years did you have that aircraft technician job?
Well, yeah, civilian-wise, or while I was there as a civilian, I was also there as a guardsman, so I had almost 37 years in the Guard, and 30 years and 6 months or something, civilian-wise.
I see. Okay. Okay, so, when you left KVP, after that, just 6 months, you said, you went to college. Right? Where'd you go?
Western.
Okay. In... What was your major?
Automotive engineering.
Okay. Yeah, and did you finish?
No, I stayed long enough to find out that the social side of college was in where my area was, and I had that, and my folks weren't paying, that time when I left and went to school, my dad was still alive, and they weren't paying my tuition, I had to pay for it, so it was work and do that, and finally work overtook the college side.
You bet.
I mean, they're again, like working my hands and stuff like that. Like the politics of college was that time. If you went to school, went to classes, you also went to the social side of it, and drinking parties, and even in the 60s that way. So,
oh yeah,
no, I don't think so.
60s on a college campus were
hell on wheels.
You said it. Yeah, you said it. It was something else. And were you married by that time? When did you get married?
No, I didn't get married till 66.
Okay. Yeah, 60s on a college campus anywhere were.
Well, at that time, and my wife Cheryl graduated from Norris, and then she went on to nursing school at Bronson.
Okay.
For 3 years, and then she graduated, and we had already got into a relationship then, and so she got married about a month before. A lot of it had to do with military service, and so we were going to get married in September and ended up getting married in May. It was a speed up the process, because stuff was over with. I got a draft deferral for a while, and once that draft deferral went away, they right away said you're going to be reclassified 1A, and so he said, I guess I better get married before that time, so if there was something going on, at least I'd have been married when I left. But I lucked out to some extent, because the Guard called about the same day I got a letter from the draft board saying I was reclassified. The Guard called and said, would you still be interested? And I said, absolutely.
Oh, great.
And one of the guys, I don't think he helped me, but in fact, he was my dad's boss. Dean Gould was his name. He was a pilot with the Guard at the time. That was like in 66. And so I had to sit down with Dean before I ever went and raised my hand and said, I do. And he said, I think you'll never regret it. I don't, looking back, I don't think I have.
Great. So what was it like living in Parchment? I mean, the mill, when the mill was really humming, this is a busy place, wasn't it?
Well, even in the 60s, it was humming along pretty good because when they, you know, I know they went through the reunion part of it, but when they merged with Sutherland on a thing, which probably was a beginning, you know, the two of them weren't doing real well as individually as Andy. I thought they did pretty well. You know, the diversification was enough and all that, but not getting into the whole thing about it. Obviously, they produced, you know, they employed a lot and they drove the parchment's economy, which was, you know, from the tax base and, you know, everything else. Of course, you, if we look back on how much pollutant went in the river and, you know, some of that stuff, but I mean, they continue to build and I think they produced a lot of a good product, but at least back then and hung on. I mean, I had several friends that went to work there, and one guy did work there right up until I think he retired before they closed the place. That's Bill Fike.
Yes.
I guess there was a couple other guys that did too, but that was a big place. I mean, there were a lot of people at a place I never even went. You know, I mean, I stayed, when I got hired, I came back out here, but then I was working summers. I did most of the summers was over at, off of Patterson Street, Patterson Pitcher, in either 7 or Division 5 and stuff like that, but I sure got education about what goes on and side of a mill on night shift and stuff. We won't go there.
Oh, okay. But Parchment was, there were lots of businesses downtown. Belle Isles was downtown.
Well, Belle Isles was the place where everybody went. I mean, after football practice and everybody went to Belle Isles because they had the soda bar. They had a soda fountain down there, and then there was Clark's Pharmacy, which was right next door. On the corner, and then there was Vans, which was a 5 and 10 cent store.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had a huge candy counter. I don't want to call it a candy counter, but a candy case where you could pretty much go in and buy anything you want, a line of candy.
Oh.
He had that. So that was the three places that were frequented the most was was Vans and Belisle's and Clark's.
Yeah. Yeah. Restaurants? Besides Belle Isle, he had a counter.
Well, yeah, he had a counter, and he served food. He served lunches and stuff. And then there was Marie's, which was down where the insurance company is now across the middle school.
Okay,
Was Marie Beaton.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Well, there was Parchment Department Store.
Where the attorneys are now?
Well, in a front part.
Yeah, in the front part.
Okay, then a back part that went alongside the parking lot. There was a restaurant back there with Beaton's.
There was.
And then there was another one out further, pizza place that a guy named Andy Paschals ran.
Where was that?
That was further out Riverview, out by North Elementary School, by there.
Okay.
And I don't recall anything being in the shopping center line of restaurants at that time.
Oh, where Save-A-Lot is now? That shopping
center?
No,
back
center?
From there. Well, Save-A-Lot's actually in the old AMP store.
Okay. You mean that other...
Back in there where Scooter D's is and stuff like that. I don't think there was a restaurant in there at the time.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Because I can remember when the credit union was in a house at the corner of Island and... Not Island. Because anyway, the street that comes down from Parchment, right on the corner where the old bank is now.
Right.
Where the
right.
Bank of America is closed up. There was a house there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had... when I got my first... When I joined the credit union, my mom signed me up. I had a 3-digit number.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they changed that. For some reason, I couldn't get it back. And so the next number I had was 3711. So that wasn't too far up the line. And
right.
I've got an account with First Community still, and it's a 4-digit.
Sure.
So you figure out how far they've gone. I mean, it's a 4-digit before you add some control number on the back, but it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really strange. And in fact, I'll just tell you a little side like that. Eva Cunningham, who was the manager of the credit union, I saw her the other day, and believe it or not, I was standing in a credit union, and she came right out and she said, I mean, this lady had been there years and years and years. She came right out and she said, you remember when your account number was 3711? I'm going,
oh, my word.
I turned and looked at her. I said, now, why would you remember that?
Oh,
she said, I can tell you the other account number. It was 6011 is the one I got now. She told me that one. I don't know if she'd been retired.
Oh, my word.
And if I could have found out, if I could remember what my original 3-digit number was, they were going to give me that one.
Okay. But Eva Cunningham, was this when you were in high school?
I got my first, I got, no, heck no, I got my first, I had an account when I was in elementary school still. With little money I got, I put in credit union. That was when I had a 3-digit.
Okay.
Well, actually, it was when I first opened a credit union, don't it?
Sure.
It was KVP Credit Union. It had nothing to do with First Community.
Papermakers Credit Union.
No, that came. I don't think it was Papermakers ever.
Okay.
Might have been. I think Papermakers was over on Mosel. And I think that was a little different.
Oh, okay.
But okay. You almost tell the girls that worked there, in fact.
Yeah.
Another Parchment people.
Eva had quite the memory.
Better get it while you can.
Do you know how long she was there?
Who, Eva was there?
Yeah. Have any idea?
Oh, I bet you she was there. I'd almost be willing to bet you there probably maybe 30, 40 years.
Sure.
She just started working, and she was down here. Eva was down here when the house was here. And there was a gal that worked there named Isadine Dulles and Jackie Watalowitz. And then Diana Caswell was there, and Diana became one of the managers down here until she left. And I think she even came back.
Oh.
And, but they were all basically from right around Parchment. Jackie Watalowitz lived up on Glendale.
Oh.
And Redhead. As a young guy, I really fell in love with Mrs. McDowell. She was really pretty. I think she, I don't know what her nationality was, but
sure.
Very soft-spoken and all that, but
sure.
That's why folks got me involved in that, so been a member, been a lifelong member of the credit union too, pretty near.
Now, as a high schooler and, you know, a young adult and stuff, what did you guys do for fun? I mean, I know you did a lot of sports.
Are you sure you want to know?
Well, yes, I am. I'm sure I want to know.
You mean high school fun?
Yeah. I mean, like, on a weekend. Probably have a football game when it was
like
football
Michigan,
season.
Well, I play football, so, I mean...
Sure.
High school dances, love to dance, still do.
Yeah.
Summertime Lake Michigan.
Oh, okay.
The note up to Gun Lake, which was a big draw for dancing for everybody around from far north as Grand Rapids to Allegan to Hastings to everywhere. I mean, it was really kind of a nice melting pot. And I went up there, and in the summertime, of course, Gun Lake was hopping with all these people from all over that summered in
the Gun Lake area. Boats and all that stuff,
Went there, of course, I was really like cars a lot, so a lot of the guys I hung out with, I mean, went to cruise the east side and dated girls from the east side and Schwartz's Drive-In. And
Where was Schwartz's Drive-In?
There was two of them. There was one on King Highway, which is right across from Red Arrow Golf Course, and there was another one on Westage, which had been approximately where Myers is now on north of the I-94. There was a McDonald's. Yeah. They built the first McDonald's across the street from Schwartz's. So what you do, you'd go through and cruise around Schwartz's and drive through town and then go out to King Highway and cruise around there and then go back. You know, that was the typical drive-in scene. And
I see.
There was a couple AMWs. There was one on Porty Street, one on Kelms Web. There were people used to hit two in a lane process. But
yes,
that was pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are still around that I think some of them are still around that, you know, I was involved with. You just never see them.
Mm-hmm. How about neighbors? Do you remember your neighbors?
Say what now?
Do you remember your
neighbors? Well, the one neighbor, I mean, the neighbors that I had, of course, there was a vacant lot where my house is now, but neighbors I had, I grew up with, was Muscalics. They lived on the east side. And Mr. Muscalic died here a couple, 3 years ago. At 90, he lived there. So that was the only guy that ever lived in that house was for 50-some, you know, over 50-some years.
Yeah.
And his kids went to Parchment. Well, no, I take that back. Two of his sons went to Parchment. The other one went to Central. And he retired. He lives on a co-water, not retired. He's a general practitioner. He's a doctor. The other two guys, Jim and Mike Muscalic, they're spread out all over the place now. In fact, Bob's down there, like I said, in Coldwater. Jim lives, I think Jim lives up in Empire now, and Mike's over in the eastern part of the state. And then the other side was that the whole neighborhood where I lived up on Parchment, there was Smiths and Hoganbooms and Coldmeyers, and they were basically all pretty much interrelated.
Okay.
As the story goes, but, you know, the sisters married, Coldmeyer sisters married Smith's brothers, and it was kind of interesting. So they all lived around there, because where I grew up, there was a vacant lot on two sides, one on the east side, one on the west side. And, of course, they've since built on, I built on the one and everything, the house still there. And then across the street, some people named Sparks lived there when I was growing up. And then, of course, obviously, Dave Smith, that was in that one of the picture, lived Kitty Corn, and I can remember when they built Joe Chatterton's house.
Okay.
Some of the houses they built up there, but the house I was built in 42.
Yeah.
And that house, when it was built, well, I was told anyway, well, I told me that you could, when they first built it, you could look out the kitchen window and pretty much see on all of it. So there was nothing.
Really?
On Glendale, there was no houses. No houses south at all. They just had a,
wow.
In fact, the side lot and the backyard were alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a guy come over and cut it and use it for his livestock.
Yeah.
How far back that goes.
Yeah. And, of course, you had the park to play in.
Yeah.
Kindleberger Park.
That was wonderful. Sledding in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad they have never disturbed it other than keep it up. But we even climbed the water tower from time to time. Got a lot of trouble for that. Like they had guts and Scout Hill. And that, I don't know if that there have been some pictures of that, but at one time that there was a scoreboard for the baseball diamond down below on the side of Scout Hill.
Okay. Skull Hill?
Scout Hill. That's the big hill. Scout Hill. That's
Scout
the big hill.
Hill
from the east of the...
Right.
And until they made the bike path through there, there used to be a road. Until they narrowed it down to a bike path, there used to be a road that went all the way around.
Oh.
You could drive around. And then the other thing about the park was interesting. In summers, the road part that's quite hilly on the south side, which parallels, I think, Sturgis Road or something on the outside of the park, just below the Little League Diamond.
Yeah.
Up above, they used to have soapbox derby races there.
They did. Were they in prizes awarded?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were regular cars like they used to have soapbox derby over on Maple Street. But, I mean, they were the cars that kids built, you know.
Yeah?
Well, something used to have soapbox derby.
Did you participate?
No.
Well, who sponsored it? Like the
I don't remember.
The businesses or something?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I think it was something maybe even the city did.
Big deal.
Well, it was then, yeah.
This, do you know what decade this was? The 50s?
Well, it had to be the 50s.
In the 50s?
Yeah, it had to be in the 50s.
Soapbox derbies. Oh. Yeah, you're the first person that's mentioned those here in town. Yeah. And you get trophies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and,
oh yeah. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
Kids worked on the cars and all that. It was a big deal.
Was it just confined to Parchment kids or would kids come
from
all
over? Well,
I think
it was the kids from around the area. I think it, like in Kalamazoo up in here, like
Cooper
Burke Acres.
And...
Burke Acres, if you want, in Cooper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh.
So that's something you probably haven't heard either.
I have not heard of soapbox. No, of all the oral histories we've been taking, that's a new one.
And the top of Skull Hill, up above where the band shell is now, but it's going back down to Skull Hill. You just go up there, and good place to make out at night after the dances and stuff. And it really was behind the scoreboard.
Sure.
In fact, then I met my wife, we walked up into the park from the dance, you know, walked out of the park, walked around.
Yeah.
It's really kind of nice up there.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
And then in Halloween type, my sister's 3 years older than I am, and Halloween, all the girls that used to go out and run around, they went out and did the police chase the guys with the girls, vandalism on all the places.
The police chased the guys?
Well, sure, the guys were always out running in groups, you know, on Halloween, getting in trouble and all that, and the girls were doing the same thing. The girls in my sister's age group, and she'd be like 3 years older than I am, they were out running around. And
really? Didn't anybody get caught?
A couple times, yeah.
Who, you?
Well, no, I didn't get caught, I mean, but...
Your sister got caught?
Sister got caught. The group got caught one night.
What's your sister's name?
Morgie. M-O-R-G-I.
Is that your only sibling?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she get caught?
Well, I think that I can remember telling about something that she did with the group. I mean, they hung around with the guy that owned the Parchment Department Store. His name was Weikstra, Arnold Weikstra.
Okay.
And it was his daughter. And then up on the top, there was Rosenbaum, which owned the Rosenbaum Shoe Store down in Kalamazoo. They lived up on Oak Grove right at the top of the hill. And there was one house line. Lived next to the Weirds.
Okay.
I mean, we'd go out and have a good time, but you guys were out running around, and of course that group of people that was like three, like Ed Hathaway and some of those guys, Bill DeWeird and Jim DeCrick, and some of these ones that were in that group were older, but I hung out with a lot of the older guys, so, because if I don't, everyone was full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned summertime, and I mentioned this as a passing statement, but I think a lot of problems with kids today, there's no organizational skills. Back when we were younger, the guys would come around and they'd yell at you, or you'd get up in the morning and say, let's go play ball.
Yeah.
So you go down here to the ball diamond and play ball. You choose up sides.
Sure.
There wasn't any parent dragging you off to a sports event or to soccer or to a little league or anything like that. I mean, when we started little league, it was organized, but we played ball 2 or 3 hours a day. Just go up there and
Yeah.
Play ball until you're tired and wander on down to Blyles and get something and wander home. I mean, there wasn't getting hauled a mile, you know.
Yep. You're right.
It's the same thing with the kids next door, and I'll get bused to Central Elementary next door to my house.
Oh.
And I mean, we used to walk. We had lunch hour, so you'd walk to school in the morning, walk home at noon, walk back after you got any lunch, and walk home at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you might say, well, I walked, you know, walked a mile to school every day, and it was all uphill, but that's not necessarily. Well, it was uphill, too. It was uphill twice.
Twice, yeah.
We didn't ride. There used to be the lot next to where the attorney's office is, used to be have all bike racks on it.
Oh.
So everybody rode their bikes to school when they walked across the street.
Yeah.
That's when Riverview Drive was two-lane.
Oh, and it was two-lane. Oh. And Parchment was known after that fatal accident as a speed trap.
I don't believe they've ever. I don't think they've ever had a fatal here.
Yeah, my understanding is it was a while, and it was Ralph Herrick's dad was the chief of police, and there was a where the corner is, right here, around the corner, going to on North Riverview and Parchment. There was a fatal accident there, and that's when the town got serious about stop signs and stoplights.
Oh, okay.
My understanding. I heard that, and a lot of the oral histories that we've taken, I ask guys, and some of the women who have been giving me oral histories and stuff, what's, you know, their strongest memory of Parchment, and they all go, the speed trap.
Oh, yeah.
Over the limit, you lots of times got pulled over, you know. They were very serious. They didn't want accidents.
It was the other guy that worked out here besides Ralph's dad was Cliff Parker. And he kind of reminded me of Barney Fife, if you will. I got caught a couple, three times. I mean,
yeah.
And then they had Judge Pierce. He was a justice of the peace kind of thing. He lived up on Glendale, so if you ever got a ticket or something like that, they go up and see.
They take you right there.
They take you right there.
They take
there
you
if
up
you
there.
Wanted to, and
what would happen?
I had quite a juvenile driving record, and then, I mean, when I was younger, I had a scooter, and I got caught on that, and blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
would he give you a talking to?
Well, I mean, you get a ticket, you know, they'd send you to juvie, they'd send you to juvenile court if you want to, but Pierce, it was more or less of a deal. I don't really go back to say that there was any collusion between any of the guys, but it was kind of like a one-horse town here, and,
yeah,
you know, granted, they upheld the law. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. chase the kids all over the place, and if there was something going on, you know, he'd come and ask you, well, what can you tell me about this? I'd, well,
oh.
kind of a deal you're going to cut me here for squealing on my friends, you know, but that was kind of, so I did, I mean, they had a deal one night down here, and I don't remember exactly what it had something to do with, but man, people were driving their cars on the sidewalks in front of, on the north side of, on the west side of Riverview, you know, right along the middle of Parchment, driving their cars on the street.
No kidding.
I had a Model A Ford, and he supposedly said it was going 10 miles over the speed limit uphill on Glendale. And I said, it's impossible, man. That car wouldn't go that fast. That's what I ended up going over there. He came to the house and gave me the ticket. He didn't give me the ticket when he never stopped me. He just said I got that. Of course, he used to radar and all that once in a while.
And there you are at home with your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here comes a guy with a ticket. That couldn't have been pleasant.
They chased us all the water tower. There's one kid in there in one of those pictures of Bill Standish, who lived up on Thomas Street.
Yeah.
We were climbing a water tower, and he didn't make it up the water tower, and the police got there, so what did he do? He ratted on everybody, told everybody who was up there. They selectively came and, we need to talk to you. What are you doing on the water tower?
Yeah. Were you doing graffiti in the water tower?
It was fun to walk. It was fun to climb it. You could see a lot from the water tower, but you don't know why you're
sure
doing that
can.
Stuff. There wasn't any fence around it.
Yeah.
It was a drop-down ladder. You just went and climbed the water tower. I don't think I'd ever do it now, but...
Yeah. if we can get a little philosophical here, Mike, how is Parchment today different from when you were a kid?
I think it's changed a lot. Obviously, when I was growing up, there was more, I guess I want to call it local control.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that was, you know, I mean, I got fired from a police department job. It was essentially, Merle Wood was the mayor, and so I had a chance of never fight in my case because mayor and the chief, you know, all this. It was always, and even, of course, like in Ralph's case, you know, that went from his dad to him to, you know, and his brothers worked there. So you want to call it, you know, nepotism, I guess, if you will. But I think the difference is that when it was in local control and the people that lived here ran the town.
Yeah.
And in the ensuing future that comes up, that there's, I mean, the Bob Heasleys are still here, which is good because his dad was mayor and all that. You know, they understand that.
Yeah.
But I think it's always been, nobody bothered the city commission much because it was always okay to do whatever they're going to do. Mm. And when you the outside people came in, and it did change that. I think that the absence of the mill changed that. I think that the ability, the inability to, and the decisions that were made, this is just my feeling,
sure,
but the inability decisions that were made about the mill were, you know, they could see it coming, yet nobody wanted to admit it. And so consequently, the train came and ran over everybody standing on the platform. It was the kind of thing you want to look at. I mean, when they decided to close the mill up, they got stuck.
Yeah.
Because here's the bulk of the tax base is all sudden up in a puff of smoke, you know. And I guess it's the same thing with the schools, the people that were here with the schools. And, you know, we've since got back to some sort of semblance of reality here in the school system, that when they redid the gym and, you know, stuff like that, it was great. I mean, my daughter went through sixth grade, and we had problems with her as a teaching level in middle school, so we put her at Kelvinsville Christian. And my son did the same thing, only he went to North Christian. They went to a Christian high school, and then he came back here and graduated. So he's, you know, I mean, in fact, he made, you know, he was on the soccer team that went to state semis, and same with basketball when he graduated, like in 89. But there's a little difference as far as the city's concerned. I think it's become like every other city does over time. I mean, it's basically a bedroom community because there is no indoor, well, there is graphic packaging here, but they don't employ near the amount of people where, you know, I mean, when...
That the mill did, sure.
When this girl I dated in high school, this Judy Carpenter was her name, her dad was a millwright down here, and they lived right on the corner of Hercules and Riverview, where the credit union is now. And so it was right across from the community house, you know. And I really feel bad that they ever tore that place down because it was basically a landmark. And it, I think in today's world, if they knew they were going to do that, they would try to preserve it. Although it was big and old and huge, you know. But then something could have been done with it because it had a nice gym. You know, we had scout movies there and played, because I was in, you know, the Boy Scout troop, and then they had basketball there. They played, you know, church basketball there and stuff like that. And when my dad played a trumpet and a cornet, and he was in with Bobby Davidson's band, and there was another band, Ted Vugman's band, but he also played, well, Bob Watson, who obviously lives down here down the road again, you know, Bob played with him. I mean, my dad would have been over 100 now, but they had concerts in the community halls.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a neat place. It was just like, it was a community hall. It was just that. They had concerts there. They had weddings there. They had church there. I mean, it was basically a real good gathering place. And, of course, that with that being torn down for the bank, that was gone.
Yeah.
And it was the fact that people just, they didn't want to, you know, they offered them the property. I don't know actually who even owned it, whether the city owned it or whether it was owned by somebody else. But, you know, they got enough money for it. So, oh, we'll build a bank here. For what reason? But my wife says to this day, it's too bad they didn't keep it because it was a terrific, I mean, it's big. You might call it a white elephant because it actually stretched from pretty near Riverview Drive almost all the way to back over to Maple Street.
Right.
You know, you walk out the back of the gym and you were sidewalk running on Maple Street. So
I've heard that sentiment expressed in some of these other rural histories that we've taken here. Sure. I wish it was still around.
It would have been, to me, it would have been a tribute to my grandfather, if nothing more, the fact that this thing was built 100 years ago, you know, it's still here. Well, he also, with a group of guys that he, the outfit that he did building for, they also built a Wells Grape Juice Factory in Matawan, which I don't know if they destroyed that or not. But I'm thinking, here you have to commute from, he lived over on Clinton Street, downtown. You have to commute from Clinton Street to Matawan every day to work on this thing and then commute back, you know.
Yeah.
So there's...
And in those days, that took a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, even, well, coming out here probably didn't. But, I mean, I was reading in the book that Joe Chatterton said as far as the some of the history and building the mill and stuff like that. It would have been cool to see how much they, I mean, you look at them tearing it down now, how much is in that. And
I know. Yeah.
You hate to see it go, but like everything else, I mean, I think today it's probably, I wouldn't say it's any better community, and I don't think it's gotten any worse, obviously. I think that... there are some things obviously has changed with the future change. You know, there's
different. Yeah.
More
yeah.
Transients go through here, and there's the kids are more mobile.
Yes.
So you see that if there's gonna be any crime going on, it's gonna come to. You know, I would have never dreamed how many years ago locking the back door of my house, but yet this summer somebody. Three houses down, these kids went walking by and literally home invasion. They went right on the, knocked on the door, nobody. They went around the back door, went through the house, and the girl across the street watched them. And if my daughter had them sitting in the kitchen, looking out the door and saw them go by, she gave the police a description, and they ended up picking them up over here someplace. It was a girl and a guy, and a young kid, you know, teenagers. And the first thing my daughter thought was, why aren't they in school?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of that. But, I mean, it's neat that the high school's still there, and they did a wonderful job on the gym. So they made a lot of progress in places, but you know you can't stop progress.
Right.
And things I think my mom was a contributor to the library.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Back when, in fact, when the library they moved the library from
several know, times
over
actually,
here, but I can remember being over here, and then when they built this,
yeah,
so
yeah.
She was around when they built this one, so she was in Friends of the Library and really promoted the book sales and
she was
stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think as far as the community is concerned, I think it's changed with progress. Obviously, that they want to get back now to 3 lanes of traffic instead of 4, and that's going to be real popular for a lot of people.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Growing up here all my life, I liked it. In fact, there's more than once I've said, and my wife said, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I mean, we go to Florida, and we've did a lot of traveling around the country, and this is as nice a place as it gets as far as the...
Sure.
It's comfortable. There's a lot going on around the area that you can participate in. So,
right. So, final question. What would you like people to remember most about Parchment?
A terrific community to raise your kids. I call it a safe community. Mm-hmm. I think it still is today pretty much, although that, you know, the stuff that's going on with meth and all that crap like that, I mean, it's,
yeah.
If you don't pay attention. And I mean, I've watched the neighborhood I live in is... Since the onslaught of the foreclosures and the idea that people just move out of houses, what they've done up there, you know, and stuff like that. But my neighbors, you know, that I've got on the other side that bought the guy's house, they're from UP, and it looks like it.
Oh. You
know, and
just not taking care of it?
Yeah, and I think that on the other side of my daughter's house, that Smiths and everything, they built a big, huge duplex next door, and it doesn't fit the neighborhood at all. And
But
Ryan and Nell Smith both passed away, and the kids decided to sell the house, in which they did. And so, and I told them when they built it, I said, they're going to sell it. I said, it'll turn into a rental. It never did. This guy bought it. It's a little different situation. But, you know, the neighborhood's gone a little bit better. And Smith's house, these people moved in. That, in fact, a gal went to high school, went to Christian with my son. So, you know, they got a couple kids. They want to bring their kids up in a good neighborhood. And it is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the schools and the schools are gotten a lot better over time. So... You know, well, I think remember the Parchment, it's just a neat little community. I think that maybe with the what they're going to do across the street and everything, but I think that, you know, Chuck Nagy is just a little quick one here. I dated his sister, Marita, and actually dated her before I met Sherry, met my wife, but we're good friends with Rita and Gary now, and I see Chuck once in a while. Chuck and a group of guys hung around with him when we all got in trouble a whole lot. I see these guys once in a while. I said, well, you know.
Yeah.
So I got included, and they had a 57 class reunion.
Right.
That's
right.
From here,
yep.
Which my sister was in that class. And so I went to the reunion with them because I hung out with everybody.
Of course.
Well, of course, and Chuck's sister showed up, and then there was somebody else that showed up. So some of the people I knew, you know,
from
I knew all those guys. Terry Duncan and then halfway, and all those guys showed up, you know, where they went. Of course, everybody disappeared. There are some people that moved back here. I thought that's kind of interesting in the state and community. Like Jack Minkler came back into Parchment, and then his sister, Judy and Joe Wilmarth, came. They just live up there. Actually, they grew up on Glendale, in the middle, about the middle of the block between Hubbard and Orient. And Jack lives on the other side of the street, down closer to Hubbard, and Judy and Joe bought a house right up near Orient Street on the same side, so it's kind of like kitty corner. All Jack's trying to sell his house, but you know, I mean, that's kind of neat that these people
to see these people again.
The trouble is, they live in the same town you do, and you don't even see them.
Yeah.
I mean, I was over at Myers the other day, and I ran into three people that I hadn't seen in 20 years.
Wow.
When I see Mike Paschals, who was, he and I were in the same class together. It's kind of interesting. You see these people all the time. They say, where you been? I live at Gull Run. I think,
Right.
You know where I live.
Right. Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time on the computer trying to track some people down. Of course, on Facebook, and I don't have Facebook. Classmates is pretty good.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of classmates. But, no, I think Parchment itself, if I remember Parchment, is that if it just the fact that we've never annexed anything other than the stretch where I live out on Parchment, they annexed that in 65.
Yes.
My dad went after that deal, too. But when you look at all of that and you think what Parchment's done, they've stayed small. They haven't crept up and, gone you can go to the maintenance garage. If you got a problem, you walk over to the maintenance garage and talk to the people in the garage. It's not like, or go down and,
I
can still go down and into City Hall and people down City Hall down and talk to them again. It's just like, hey, how you doing? I mean, whereas Kalamazoo, you wouldn't do that. So the smallness is... It's stayed there. Granted, we've changed a lot of people and all that. I mean, but I think there's a lot of younger people moving into the city.
And, yeah, there are.
And
sure.
Whether or not they appreciate it or not, I don't know. But I think they've done well with the park. And we donated a couple of trees.
Yeah.
And my dad's name up there, a tulip tree. And
yeah.
So, I mean, a Little League Diamond thing. But it's interesting to note that, when we were talking about that, somebody said, I remember your dad. Well, he's one of originated the Little League. And they had underneath that big cement bleachers down there that they want to finally get rid of. They had used to have a concession stand that they started, and the Little League was down there, and then they said, we need more diamonds. That's when they went up. So I played, they did that in the 50s, and then I think that those diamonds are up there now. We started, I played on those diamonds 2 years. So 2 or 3 years that I played that, we played on both.
Wow.
And then they had a Babe Ruth League here too, which was, I've never seen anything mentioned about that, where they had 4 or 5 teams in that Babe Ruth League, which is older guys. When you got into the Little League, before you got into the high school, you played Babe Ruth League, and that was where, Bert Fish and...
What age range did you say Babe Ruth League was? You said
junior high?
Okay, after Little League and before high school.
And before high school.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. And these were just local kids. Local kids?
Yeah.
All Parchment
kids? But, I mean,
kids,
there was, Platecraft, which is over in Burdick Street, which is now Calcraft, I think, or something else anyway, is printing plates. Platecraft sponsored a team. North American Extrusions, which is now something out north of town, I hear Wells maybe or whatever, the aluminum.
Okay.
North American Extrusions sponsored a team, and I'm thinking Harding's did.
Uh-huh.
At the time, but then we just went up there and played on diamonds and went back down and played on the other diamonds. So it was some of the older guys that were 3 years older than I was playing in that league. It was pretty competitive. That was almost a thing to where they had Legion Ball. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but American Legion sponsored teams with Legion Ball. Right in the same area with Legion Ball. So some guys were playing Legion and not. And there were a lot of guys that played baseball out here. I mean, there's quite a heritage of baseball anyhow. If you go back and look from the mill and they talked about the baseball teams and stuff like that. I played where Walt Young was on a team and stuff like that. Well, I can remember my dad took me to a game down here when the Chicago Cubs played here.
Yep.
And a couple guys cracked some runs that hit the hill just about. That's 400 and some feet away from home plate. And, of course, coming here is up above where the cement, when you walk along a sidewalk alongside of which would be the third baseline down there, where you have the cement steps all the way out to the pretty near to where the bike path goes around or the walking path goes around. There used to be up above where that open area grass is. Right in there by Church Street, you could drive in. There was a curve. There was a drive-through.
Oh.
A circle went around there, and you could go down these steps on the side of the hill, or you could sit on the side of the hill. And a lot of times, people would just sit up there on the side of the hill and watch a game.
Sure.
Put the softball diamonds in, and,
Yeah.
So, I mean, they preserved it pretty well. I think the tennis courts, I think what they've done with the...
Oh, yeah.
I think what they've done with the flower garden. Oh, you used to have a flower garden down there. But, I mean, since they did to put the gazebo in for the weddings and stuff, really terrific. So
it is.
They've done a nice job.
Yep. That's a great job.
They've done a nice job with my money. I don't mind paying taxes all year to any great extent. I think, there's some things I think they could probably do better and, to bring it up. But,
The town's going through a transition now, with the mill coming down and they're trying to get that other see if that other development's going to come in here.
Well, I don't know. It'd be just nice to see if.
Who knows?
If they would just, you know, get rid of it and grass it for now. I mean, to any great extent. Yeah, I mean, it's gone and you got to move on. You know, you look at all these paper mills and stuff like that, at least that, you know, somebody's willing to take it. The economy will come back. And when it does come back, I think that'll, it'll include out here. But this has never really been anything else other than a Monday through Friday type business thing. You know, and to think it's any different is you're kidding somebody, unless you can bring something in here. But there's so many vacant storefronts.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the thing that people traditionally say, okay, I'm going to go to Portage, I'm going to go West Main, or Gull Road with you know, Culver's coming out there and stuff like that. It's the one place we used to go eat was lunchtime, and she closed it up. Well, I didn't have a business. I said, it's kind of funny every time I was in there. No restaurants floating in businesses. I mean, you can overdo it, but see, at one time over here, the Fountains or whatever it is now, right here, it used to be a restaurant. It used to be Brands
facility. Was there a Brands up here?
There was a Brands here, and then before that, it was something else.
Yeah,
because the people McKercher's owned it, and they lived up in the mansion where the
Kindleberger?
The Kindleberger's house? Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ever built that thing in front. I mean, it was such a neat way the yard was and stuff.
Yeah, I know
it.
Yeah.
But before you could shut that off if you want. I can tell you something really quick. But one of the guys, I mean, I worked at Parchment Apartment Store when I was in high school.
Okay.
And one of the other guys that worked there, Ralph Hayward's wife.
Wife, yeah.
You know, if you could have seen her, the way she dressed. She dressed like she was just got off the out of the boxcar downtown.
Oh,
I mean, it was you would never ever know.
That's interesting.
That she had money.
Really?
Yeah, and she was in Parchment Department Store, looking at towels, expensive towels.
Yeah.
And this guy that was working there, I tell you his name, but the guy was working there. He said to her, he says, "Well, he came right out and told her, you know, like, hey, you know, look at the way she dressed. You would have thought, sweetie, so you can't afford these." And then she quickly reminded him who she was.
Oh, really?
And Arnie says, "No, you can't do that."
Yeah,
you can't tell somebody.
Exactly right.
That they can't. But it was just because the people, even the people up here, Southens, you know, I've never even mentioned about Southens much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I went to school with some of the girls, and they lived on a corner up there of, I keep thinking of Hubbard Street in Glendale. It's a house up there, now it's got Michigan painted all over and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were involved. I mean, the Southens, the Haywards, the
Kindlebergers,
you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. And
sure.
So, but it now you see, if you have affluency, you're not going to live here, other than Steve Coltmire up there on.
Mm-hmm.
Up there on Park Street, you know, we redid the house. It's a beautiful house. But, you know, next door was Hayward's house. And that always was the oddest thing in the world because it was different than anything else we're looking apart. But any of those houses along the park, back then, even then, Espadola wasn't built. All that stuff over there there was nothing there.
Yep. Yep.
You know, Park was like his own little island kind of
stuff. Exactly. Exactly right.
And actually it was. There was nothing out north. You know, I mean, of course, Cooper Township, we always called that the other side of the tracks.
Sure. Well, I've heard before.
When we went to school. Yeah, I mean, when we went to school, well, you're from the other side of the tracks. Well, the other side of the tracks was the tracks that ran along the mill.
Right.
And so it was down there, Collingwood, North 20th, and stuff like that. I mean, I know a lot of guys that lived down there. But that's just the thing that got us. There was a difference in, you know.
Yes.
A difference on socioeconomic.
Exactly, socioeconomic.
So that's where that came from. I mean, and of course, when everybody said, well, you know, they talked about it, I think at one time, an excellent part of Cooper Township. Out there because their wells were out there, but I don't think of them. So anyway, if you think of something else, call me up.
Did we miss anything?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could probably go back to a lot of stuff too. But
questions I could get in, you know, within an hour. And well, thank you.
I can always come back. If you want me to come back? Well, if you think of them.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Well, we really do it.
Well, somebody who's been here their whole life has got lots of pieces to the little puzzle about Parchment. And
we had a lot of fun.
Great. That's great. I want to thank you so much for contributing your stories. Everybody's different. Got different stories. So thanks a lot, Mike.